Hello, everyone. This is Samantha Gregory with RichSingleMama.com, bringing you another episode of Hello Prosperity, our new show and new series where I'm interviewing single moms who are part of a special project that I'm a part of. And I wanted to bring these ladies to you because they have some amazing stories about their single mom journey and about how they're balancing business and single motherhood. And our guest today is Katie Hudson. She is an amazing single mom, and she has been in this journey for about 4 years. So I'm going to introduce you to her, let her tell you about her story. Welcome, Katie. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited.
Awesome. Katie, I am, again, like I said, I'm very excited about having you on the show because we're both part of this book project called Shattering the Stigma of Single Motherhood. But even before we get into that and talk about the book, I would love to know more about you and your single mom journey and how it's been.
I became a single mom about 4 years ago. And looking back at the journey of my marriage, you could see the signs that it was coming along. I made the decision to separate from my husband in the fall of 2018. And it was very interesting that the turmoil we had in the marriage and parenting my kids, I have two young kids, was very difficult. But then as soon as I made the decision to leave my marriage, it got harder, but it got easier at the same time. So I got to just worry about me and the kids and focusing on creating consistency. I had just been promoted in my job. So I had a very big job. I did a very good job of keeping personal life separate from that. But I decided to stay in my house. I purchased that through the divorce process. I kept as much the same as possible for my children, despite their dad no longer living in the household. We had shared custody. We have 50-50 custody, so they have regular access to their dad. And the journey was kicking it off. It was easy for me because I just knew I needed to survive and get on my feet by myself, create consistency. I'm a person of routine. I like to know what's coming next. So I spent 2019 just establishing that consistency for the kids and I. In the state that I live in, it takes a long time to actually get divorced when there's kids involved because they want to make sure that you go through the proper classes and that you actually really want to do this. It took a good 18 months for it to be finalized. And so the divorce was finalized and I felt like I could finally breathe and the pandemic hit 2020. And I'm very introverted. I'm okay with being by myself. It was a little jarring though, especially as we went into social distancing. I have my kids a week on, a week off, very noisy having the kids home from school. And then they went to their dads and I was all by myself. So that was jarring. And plus I work in higher education. My job was very stressful and having to pivot our entire remodel within a matter of weeks. As the time went on in the beginning of the pandemic, we got 6 months into it. I thought things would just get easier. And then here we go, the winter's coming. We faced layoffs in the fall of that year. And I felt anxious about that because I knew I wasn't immune. But the anxiety just kept building and building. The layoffs were announced. I made it through. And then we got over the 6 month hump of the crisis fatigue. But yet I still was so anxious. And I ended 2020 at such a low with my anxiety. I was diagnosed with an anxiety disorder, which now I've come to embrace. So I spent 2021 and all of this year so far, I feel like it's the new theme in my life is the theme I've established for myself is stepping outside of my comfort zone. So I'm getting braver and starting to say yes to the things that scare me. So after creating consistency with my children, getting through the stress of the early stages of the pandemic, I've spent the last 18 months now just thriving by building community. I've joined healthy habit programs with other women who are looking to build their own businesses, but also have anxiety. That program is really cool. I still practice some of the things that I learned there. I started a network marketing business. I just dabble in it now. I don't really do anything with that. I reignited my passion with nutrition and fitness and started my own business this year, which I'm sure we'll touch on. And now here I am taking classes, trying to expand my business and learn more about running the business side of things instead of just coaching. And here I am talking with you and co-authoring a book on single motherhood. If you had asked me 4 years ago, if this is where I'd be like, I just want to make sure my kids go to school with their backpack. That's just as long as they're fed, they have clothes on, here we go. So It's only been 4 years, but I can't believe it's only been 4 years.
I can totally understand that. And I just love that you continued with the routine, continued with the way of life from the time you decided that divorce was the best option up until now. And even so ironic is the weight, it seems, was lifted once you made that decision. And I, again, I'm just such a stickler about decision making. This is one of the most powerful things that you can do for yourself, is make the decision. And once you do that, it's like, whew, wow. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It feels like a weight has been lifted. You're not in that turmoil, that continuous mental grind where you're trying to figure out, is this the best way? Is plan A or plan B or plan C? What should I do? You know?
Yeah. Which bridge should I actually cross right now? Right. And it doesn't just have to be about leaving a marriage or your partner. It's any decision. And then you make it and you're like, why was that so hard? I should have made it sooner.
Exactly. And it's the weight off of your shoulders. It's like, okay, now life can go on, because yep. when you're in that holding pattern just before the decision is made, then it's just everything is up in the air until you're ready. And so even going through like the pandemic and going through the ups and downs of that, going through making decisions about, okay, the anxiety that you experience, because talking about mental health and single motherhood, that is a big issue, because we do have to make so many decisions, because we do bear the load basically of parenting, whether we are co-parenting or not, we still bear most of the load, the emotional load, the mental load, physical load, or what have you. And then embracing the fact that, okay, yes, this is part of my life. This is a disorder I have. How did that even affect you and how you felt in terms of being a parent? And did it feel like it could be a barrier for you?
I was definitely in denial about it being an issue for a long time, because I've always been an anxious person. I just didn't realize how anxious I was until I was diagnosed with this. When I first got the diagnosis and I needed to talk to my primary care, I was very nervous going on that stigma of single motherhood, right? I was like, if I take any anxiety medicine, what does that mean about my custody? What does that mean about my job? How is that going to change me? And I lucked out where I got the lowest dose possible. We did it. I lucked out. I got the best dose. I'm on exactly what I needed to be. And within a matter of weeks, this fog had lifted. And actually, let me say, this weight had lifted even more so than the decision to leave my marriage. And I was able to have the energy to cope with the aspects of life that brought me so much anxiety. And I've learned that with anxiety, you're focusing so much on the future and what's going to happen. And okay, is this the right decision to make so that I have the best possible outcome? I did feel guilty at first and like I was failing a little bit, but now, having been in this for almost 2 years, I'm so happy that I accepted this as for what it is. Also, I wish I had done it sooner and gotten the help sooner, because with anxiety, like, what's a big deal to you isn't a big deal to everybody else. And so that was sometimes a point of contention in my marriage, where like I had big feelings about something, but it didn't make sense to anybody else. And so I'm actually relieved that I did it, and it's helped me get to where I am now, because I think if I had just tried to muscle through it all by myself, I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you today. And that's not because of anything bad. It's just, I would have been tunnel vision, do the job, stay consistent. Kids go to school, at least with their lunchbox and their backpack, and we're good to go. Yeah. So I think I've definitely, it allowed me to make that transition from surviving to thriving.
Yeah, that's like my favorite phrase. We don't have to just survive, we can thrive.
Exactly.
As single moms, and feel the space, this feeling of joy, growth, evolution, whatever. Mm-hmm. And speaking of evolution, I know that you mentioned earlier that you have moved into the space where you started your own business. So tell us more about that.
Yeah. So earlier this year, I received my certification. I'm a certified nutrition coach with NASM. And this summer, I received my specialization in youth exercise. So my business is focused on, and I'm working on building this up now. Right now, my focus is on moms, busy moms, and helping them reestablish, especially new moms, reestablish a positive relationship with food and movement. And as the business grows, I also want to work with the youth because nutrition and movement have so much to do with our mental health as well. And the reason I have such passion about that is, like I said earlier, I'd known that I've been anxious my whole life, but blew it off. But it wasn't until I stopped playing sports after high school that the anxiety really hit. And then I stopped working out as much and just getting comfortable with the office life and just being a homebody. And that coupled with postpartum anxiety, it just made me realize the importance of eating well for ourselves, but also moving. And I use the word movement instead of exercise because exercise can make some people freeze. I have some dear friends who like to move, but if you call it exercise, I'll see you next month.
Yes, absolutely.
That's my goal, is to just work with people to recreate that positive relationship there, or just create it because some people have never had that positive relationship. And a lot of my approach will focus on educating, reading the nutrition labels, not just the front of the package, learning how to shop the grocery store, learning tips and tricks for budget savings and things like that. Because what seems really expensive, when you break it down for the length of time you'll use it, it's actually not so bad. For example, I bought into a CSA this year with a farm down the road from my house. Okay. And so we get our fresh veggies every week. And up front, I was like, ooh, this cost. It's like, I did a half a share, $450. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a lot of money up front. However, that's broken down to the number of weeks it goes over, about $15 a week in produce that I actually finish each week, versus you don't know how long the other produce has been sitting on shelves. So I'm just really excited and passionate about it. And the thing is too, is I live it as well. Like, I have this ebb and flow of, you know what, I'm just going to have this meal here. And even though I know it's not going to make me feel very good, and then I do it and I'm like, actually, I need to get back on track. I want to get back on track. And on the youth side of things, I have the same challenge, a similar challenge as many other moms, of getting their kids to eat well. Yeah. My daughter, who is 6 now, will try pretty much anything you put in front of her. My son is still stuck on waffles and pancakes and yogurts, and he'll put spinach in a smoothie, but that's about as far as I can get him right now.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. So I love that you are moving in this direction, and for nutrition, for movement. I love that word too.
Yeah.
And my other favorite word is playing. Mm-hmm. Playing, moving, those are two things that I can really get on board with. It just feels like fun.
Yeah.
Versus, this is something I gotta do, I gotta exercise, I gotta.
Yeah. It's not a punishment. It's actually like a reward. Like, your body can do such cool things.
Yes.
But also understanding that if you're not used to it, we can ease into it. So that's the other approach for my coaching, is building upon the habits. The reason people are not successful in how they begin changing their nutrition journey, or even their exercise journey, movement journey, is they have too many goals up front and it's overwhelming. So building on habits and having that compile, it makes it more sustainable in the long run. The other thing I'm strict about being flexible. A client I coached her and she's like, I really want to have like my wine with my girlfriends. And I'm like, yeah, but here's what you want to make sure you don't overdo. And there's this balance of being able to live and go have appetizers and a glass of wine with your girlfriends. And the same client actually wrote to me this summer and said, I had vacation for a week. I would have considered myself off the wagon, but I enjoyed my vacation and here I am at home. And it was so easy to get started again because it's a habit. It's a lifestyle. It's not a regimen.
Yes. Yeah. You know what I would love for adults to have again is recess.
Oh,
recess.
Amen. Sign me up for that.
I think it would be so much easier to incorporate movement and play because we naturally have our everyday 30-minute an hour would be even better, where we just get out, take a break, go play on a playground.
Yeah.
I've dreamed about this, doing adult playgrounds at corporate offices and stuff.
I think you're onto something. If it doesn't already exist,
because you'll have the shot. I mean, they have the, I think if they replaced the gyms and put playground equipment in there, I think they get more people to calm down and actually do it, and because it'd be so much fun.
And the productivity.
Yeah.
It's worth the cost of doing that, because I know when I'm terrible at taking a lunch break during my work day, but I know that when I devote 20 minutes to walk down the street, around the pond and back, my afternoons are far more productive.
Absolutely.
So it's financially worth it for the institutions. I brought my daughter to campus a couple of weeks ago and we were walking. We just went for a long walk. And she said, she knows it's a school. And she said, "Mom, where's the playground? Maybe we don't have that here." And she just couldn't believe it. She's like, "I don't want to go to college."
Yes.
It's not playgrounds.
But the difference it will make, not just for students on college campuses, but for employees. And I think that whole adulting thing, that's so unappealing, especially Xers, Gen Z, late, and the new, I don't know what the Gen name is now.
I can't keep up with them.
I know that part of your reason for deciding to start this nutrition coaching business was because for your own benefit, but was it for any other reason? Because you want to make extra money, or because you just want to move out of this space that you're in terms of your career? Like, what was the thing that motivated you to start your business?
I like that question, because not a lot of people ask it. And I haven't exactly really told many people, but during the pandemic, working in higher education, I've been with this institution for a very long time. It's a good institution. I enjoy the people that I work with. I don't work with the students. I'm on the administrative side. So having to deal with all of that and the pushback for the pivots, and it really shed light and made me ask, why am I doing what I'm doing? And I think all of us, I don't think anybody was immune to not reflecting on what they're doing with their lives throughout the pandemic. So I really wondered, what am I contributing to here? Because I know how our own students, who we are grooming to go out into the world, were responding. And I'm like, these are future leaders in the world. And it was disheartening. I will admit that it's disheartening. I also don't think our institution was immune to it. It was education in general. So what happened is I realized, like, I'm not contributing to what I feel is a higher purpose. Mental health really came to light during the pandemic for everybody. So I just feel passionate about, like, setting people up for success to feel good inside and out throughout their lives. And I think if I had understood and also been heard about how I've been feeling growing up, it would have made a very big difference for me in how I approach my diet. So for me, I ended up learning, I always thought meat was the reason for stomach issues. For me, it's actually gluten. And I did that through trial and error. But it was a huge aha moment, because I actually notice now, if I have those weeks where I'm on vacation and I enjoy all the gluten that I can, because I love pasta and pastries, I feel much worse, not just in my stomach, in my mind. So I really, like I said, I bought into the nutrition program and got my certification, because I want to help other people, and especially youth. I want to do all that I can to keep my kids from having to suffer the way that I did when I was growing up.
Sure.
Yeah.
Awesome. So how do you balance, like, speaking of your kids, how do you balance motherhood and work and business?
Yeah. So I think I'm lucky in the aspect that my ex-husband and I, we agreed very early on. We definitely had 50-50 custody. But what we did, because the kids were so young, they were 2 and 4 when we split, we wanted things to be as clear as possible. They knew what to expect. So they're with me a week, and then they're with him for a week. So what I do is, when I'm with them and they're here, I do a really good job of shutting off my day job, coming home, dealing with what I have to do as a mom once they're in bed. If I have to, I'll log back into work, or I get to work on my business, which is a lot of what's happening. So last year, when I was studying for my certification, when the kids were with me, I would get up between 4:30 and 5 a.m. and I would study for a while. Then I would start the routine for the morning and our day. do the nighttime routines, rinse and repeat for a number of months. Now what I'm finding is now that I have the certification and I'm I need to organize myself differently. I need to approach it differently. What I've been doing as far as building the business goes is I do force myself to take lunch breaks at my day job. I'll focus on my business then and after the kids go to bed. But what I'm also realizing this week in particular, because I'm coming up with some like social media content and things like that, I am so energized after I've been dealing with ways to make nutrition and like movement exciting. I finished something at 9:30 last night and I was like, I'm awake. I am awake and it's just refreshing. So I've realized this week for when my kids come home next week, I've got to do that work in the morning so I can keep the energy going.
Absolutely.
So I just have the time management. It's really a lesson in time management. To touch on the anxiety again, one of the things I've learned about myself and moms in general, you don't have to be a single mom. You feel torn. You're pulled in different directions all the time, whether it's work, your spouse, your children, or anything that you want to do for yourself. I have to be very deliberate about making sure that my phone is on do not disturb. I am focusing on making dinner. I am focusing on just playing and being with them. Otherwise, I just get overwhelmed and it gets loud and it's, so I have to be very deliberate in making sure that I focus on just the thing. Somebody told me the term, you might be familiar with it, but be where your feet are. Okay. And so there's been some mornings where I take a deep breath and I'm like, okay, today I have to be where my feet are. And it's been really helpful.
I like that. I've not heard that before, but I'm going to put it in the back of my mind. Also, as you're building this business, it becomes more successful. What kind of legacy do you want to leave to your children?
So the legacy I would love to leave for them is that they should follow their passion. I want them to follow their passion no matter what it is. When I opened up actually to somebody that was very close to me about eventually wanting to leave my safe job at the institution to follow my passion with nutrition and movement and helping people, they're like, that's just a hobby. You shouldn't do that. And I'm like, you know what? No, because here I am. I'm taking a circle here because my undergraduate degree is in sport management. I used to work at a health club. I used to do that kind of stuff. And I got so far away from it because I graduated college and I was just doing the easy thing. And the farther along that I got, it's harder to get out of that. Sure. And so I'm still toying with that. But if anything, I want my kids to see me doing what excites me. So that way I want to empower them to follow their dreams and do what they want to do. And then if they want to make money doing it, they can find a way. So,
And I'm sure them seeing you work on your business and acquire more clients and what have you is a great lesson in and of itself. Yeah. Of following your dreams and working that dream as well. So
my favorite stories from my son recently. So I have a vision board in my bedroom and it took me a while to put pictures on there, but I put pictures on there and I have some icons there that reflect like helping people and building community. And my son asked me, Mom, why do you have that up there? I was like, I want to build a business and I want to coach people with nutrition and how to eat well. And he goes, ooh, can you coach us? I was like, yeah, I kind of need to. I was like, you had too many frozen waffles. So it's fun, like my kids, but they're watching you. So the Healthy Habit program that I participated in last year, by them watching me, I realized that they were picking up those little habits that I was doing too. And it's pretty cool to hear her she was four at the time, my daughter. And we were driving somewhere and she's like, look how beautiful the sky is right now. And it's like, I've never heard a four-year-old pay that much attention like that. So our kids are watching us.
They are definitely watching us. So tell me, how can people learn more about your coaching business, service, I should say, and like, what is like the program and where can they find you online?
Yeah, my business is called For Your Nutrition. I like that play on words because everybody's always says for your information. So I'm on social media. I have Facebook and Instagram. And I'm really building those out and I'm working on content now. But the best way to reach me is through those, particularly Instagram. And I can share my handle with you.
Absolutely.
If you'd like, and email. And I'm always happy to pick up the phone and chat because I'm still building out my media to share with everybody online too. Talk about stepping out of comfort zones.
Absolutely. So what's the social media handle?
The social media handle for Instagram is KatieKate802_CNC. And I can put it in the chat here because my name is Katie, but it's K-A-T-I. Not many people are just Katie. Like that. But that's my Instagram handle. That's
okay. And now we'll put it in the show notes so they'll be sure to connect with you on Instagram. And as you build out your social media and build out your website, then of course, I'm sure all the links will be there as well.
Yep.
So what advice would you give another single mom who was looking to start their own business?
Oh, I think the biggest piece of advice is to find a community that can support you and bounce ideas off of. I have been blessed in the aspect of Jill, who we know through the book project we're working on together. She and I have known each other for a very long time, but I've been able to she's coached me on various things and it's been so helpful. Building your community around women business owners. They don't even have to be in the same industry as you. You can learn so much by other people in other industries because sometimes little tips and tricks there work, but community is everything. I feel like that's a whole nother thing I could just really talk to you about. But
absolutely. I have an accountability group that I'm in and that has just been phenomenal because it keeps you focused. It keeps your goals fresh and also can bounce ideas off of other people as well. Mm-hmm. That has been phenomenal. And then of course, being a part of the group that you and I are in to write this book. And I don't want to forget about this book and about how connected that way. And as I mentioned before, the book is called Shattering the Stigma of Single Motherhood. And tell me a little bit about why you decided to even join this mm-hmm. book project and how you envision it unfolding in the future.
Yeah. So I almost didn't join the book project. I think many women, and I shouldn't discredit anybody else, but many women discredit their own stories. Given my history and the length of my marriage and everything that happened in that relationship, the trauma that I endured, I've convinced myself other people had it worse. My story doesn't matter. It's quiet. I'm okay. However, in reflecting on whether or not I was going to do this book project, I talked with my partner and he's actually, your story is very important. And the fact that it's that quiet trauma that everybody thinks that they should just endure because it doesn't seem so bad. And I joined this project because one, it was me needing to tell myself and convince myself that yes, my story matters. But as I wrote the story, and now that I've gotten my draft done, I'm so excited to share it with others and just let people know that they're not alone in what they're dealing with. So I'm very excited to have that out there, as vulnerable as it is. But I look forward to being able to connect with others who possibly have the situation that I had, and just to empower them. It's all, like I said, I want to leave the legacy for my kids is empowerment. And I want the same for other women and people who are stuck in situations or feel like they're stuck in situations like that. And just let them know that it's okay and they're not alone and what they feel matters.
Absolutely. And what you're saying is so powerful in terms of the quiet trauma and abuse that a lot of women go through, where they feel like, oh, I'm not being hit. I'm not being abused in this dramatic way that we've seen on TV, like the burning bed and years ago, I'm dating myself, but but that's what a lot of people think when they hear, okay, you went through some trauma in your relationship, they automatically think, oh, she must have been abused. She must have been this. There's financial abuse. There's emotional abuse. There's mental abuse. There's all kinds of abuse that people endure because of mental health issues, immaturity, narcissistic behavior, sociopathic behavior that's insidious. It's silent and insidious. Yeah. But to be able to share your story and to let other women know, you don't really have to go through that. You can leave and start over again. And you can build this life. And it can be amazing.
Yeah. And there's I actually ended up sharing this term with another woman recently. She shared her experience of what was happening and she was going through a divorce. And I was like, That's gaslighting. There are, people don't know what that actually means.
Yeah.
Gaslighting and making someone think, oh, you're like, this is an issue because of this. And then you like, wait, what? And it's this back and forth. And it really makes you wonder what the reality is. And I think it happens far more often than anybody realizes.
It does. It absolutely does. And I think that's part of the society that we live in. It's become so normalized. And we don't recognize at first when it hits you, wait, what? Maybe
I feel like the look on your face, I feel like that's me. That was what I looked like exactly for 12 years. It's like, okay, I'm constantly adapting. And finally, you decide one day, you decide not to adapt anymore. And that was the best decision I ever made for me and for my children.
Absolutely. So I'm excited again about being a part of this book project. And for those listening, at the time of this recording, the book is still in progress and it's going to the publisher, and it will be produced and ready by October or November timeframe of 2022. So if you listen to this much later on, you can definitely go on Amazon and get the book. It might be in bookstores, but look for it. You will be able to read our stories about how we shattered the stigma of single motherhood, because it's no longer a stigma, because so many people, women are joining the ranks every single day, unfortunately, because of divorce, because of desertion, maybe even death. But fortunately, women like Katie, women like Jill, women like Michelle, who I've already interviewed, they were brave enough to come forward, and including me, to share our stories and to give you encouragement, to empower you and inspire you to move past the stigma and look towards your good mental health. Because if a marriage, a relationship is diminishing your mental health, then it is not worth being in. But you can free yourself and you can grow, evolve, and become the best version of yourself through this journey of single motherhood. As odd as it may seem, you can definitely become the best version of yourself through this journey. So I want to thank you again, Katie, for being a part of this show, Hello Prosperity, and for sharing your story, sharing your journey with us through motherhood, through business, and through becoming the best version of yourself so you can empower others too.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Very welcome. And thank you all for listening to another episode. And be sure to go to our show notes at richsinglemama.com/HelloProsperity or richsinglemama.com/radio. And you can get the show notes for this show with Katie's details, all her information, and how you can become one of her clients if you need to have more nutrition as well as get the movement going in your life. Take care, and we'll talk to you again another time. Bye.